Hi, and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now. Locally dial 216-901-0933 or toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Join the conversation live with Pastor Al. And now, here's your late night host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. And I hope you'll be able to stick with us and join in the conversation here this evening. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, we'd love to hear from you tonight. You can give us a telephone call at toll-free 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673, and we'll get you on the air here this evening, and I hope you can stick with us as well. Let's go ahead and open in a word of prayer here tonight. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity to be on the air tonight. Bless the program. Use it for your glory. Help us talk about things that would be a help and encouragement to people this evening, to point people to Christ. And you know, we just pray use the program for your glory, to uphold your word and the Savior to the people around us tonight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, good evening. Welcome to the program. And boy, got a little warm today. I was kind of chuckling. I saw a thing where President Obama was telling a graduating class, a college, I forget which college it was, but they were to go out now that they're newly graduated from college, go out and use their newfound college education to advocate for global warming. And to overcome people like me that just don't know anything about it. But I thought about that when I was looking at my thermometer registering 43 degrees last night and having to turn the furnace on in the middle of June and having several nights the last couple of weeks, actually just not in the last couple of weeks, within the last week, of 44, 45, 46 degrees at night. And that's here in Northeast Ohio. I saw an article today that off the coast of Newfoundland, and I want to say St. John's Bay, I'm not sure that's the exact place, but off the coast of Newfoundland, there are glaciers that are being seen closer in areas than they usually see them. They say there's just so much of them this year. And I can remember when I stuck some stuff in for a garden, it took forever for the seeds to sprout because the ground was so cold. And then, of course, Lake Erie, just on, I believe it was Memorial Day weekend, when they had the opening of the beaches in Memorial Day, they were encouraging people not to go in the water because it was too cold still. And it's been the coldest that it's ever been, I think, this time of year in some of the Great Lakes in terms of water temperature. And I know that the amount of ice cover over the Great Lakes this year was far greater than what it's been in many, many years. In fact, I think in some parts of the upper Great Lakes, they had ice over the lakes at a later date than has ever been recorded. But of course, remember, that means global warming, right? Okay, well, truth is, the climate changes. Where I'm sitting right now in this studio in Independence, Ohio, some years ago during the last ice age, there was probably a mile's worth of ice covering the ground that I'm sitting at right now where this studio is. And I'd like to know who it is that caused global warming, that caused all that ice to melt. The climate of the Earth cycles, temperatures go up, temperatures go down. And of course, all of that, without getting too far away from our program tonight, is to justify the draconian restrictions on carbon dioxide emission, which I can recall studying at Colorado State University back in the early 80s. We were discussing what would happen if carbon dioxide levels rose, and the general consensus was that it would improve crop production because carbon dioxide is plant food. And if you ever had a greenhouse, Guess what they pump into greenhouses to make the plants more productive and grow better? It's carbon dioxide. You breathe out carbon dioxide, I breathe it out, animals breathe it out, the plants take it in, and in photosynthesis, they produce oxygen and they produce sugars and starches, carbohydrates, which is the basis of our food chain. And then, of course, during the evening, the plants also put out a little carbon dioxide. Their basic metabolism puts out carbon dioxide as well all day long. It's just that in the evening, they're not conducting photosynthesis, so they put out more carbon dioxide than they use. But over the course of their life, because of the daytime, they put out far more oxygen than carbon dioxide. And that's why you and I can run around on this planet and breathe the air. So, anyway, that's enough probably ranting on the environment there. I just seen some of these things, and when my thermometer is 43 degrees on the 15th of June, just a week away from the first day of summer, I just have a little difficulty buying the whole global warming thing. I'm convinced it's the ice age that I heard about and had to fear when I was in high school back in the 70s. Must be the ice age coming back. At any rate, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call tonight. 888-677-9673 is our toll-free number, and I don't usually give it out, but sometimes if you have trouble with that, you can call the local number, 216-901-0933. That's 216-901-0933. But I wanted to mention a couple of other things. Of course, the Middle East is melting down right now, and they talk about politics makes strange bedfellows. Well, there's another phrase, the enemy of my enemy is my friend, and the area in Iraq, and I'd say mostly northern Iraq and western Iraq, as well as eastern Syria, is being taken over by a group called the Islamic States of Iraq and Syria. Now, this is a pretty bizarre group. I mean, they were considered too extreme for Al-Qaeda, and they separated from them. And the leader of it used to be in United States custody until about 5 or 6 years ago, I guess it was. He was released from a detention camp, and he is, I mean, they're literally butchering people in Iraq. They're trying to take over Iraq, and Iran is sending in forces trying to defend Iraq. And we're now talking about actually the United States joining with Iran to help defend the Iraqi government. The Iraqi government that I might add told us to get out and to keep them from being taken over. Now, the Iranians are doing it because they have essentially had been able to make Iraq into a sort of puppet state for Iran. And this Sunni group that the ISIS, the Islamic States of Iraq and Syria, they're Sunni Muslim, and they are arch enemies of the Shiites. And so Iran, being the Shiite Muslim bastion, they are doing battle with the Sunnis of ISIS, and they want us to help. And so we'll see what's going to happen there. Pray for that situation. There's some debate how long Baghdad will hold out. Yesterday, they had news reports that ISIS was within 50 miles of Baghdad, and it was an influx of Iranian troops, I think, that helped sort of slow them down and stall them, because people were afraid that Baghdad was going to fall to ISIS just this past week. So we may talk about a little bit more of that as well. All right. Well, again, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673, and get on the air with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. We have Fran calling in tonight. Fran, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Yes, I'm calling in about those young Jewish yeshiva students from Israel.
Oh, yes, the three that were kidnapped.
One was American, yes, and they were kidnapped. One
right.
of the kids were American, which I think America should get involved with that, too, to help rescue those kids. They're only 16-year-old. They're very frightened. They've never been in the military where they know how to deal with a hostage situation. like police and military are trained to do. So, like I said, we got to pray for those young people, young kids, and they're very frightened. And I think that so the Hamas would kind of, you know, they want to, I guess, release the Hamas prisoners, I guess, and that's where they're using these kids as ploys.
Yeah.
And I think it's a terrible thing.
Right, and I was going to add there was about 20,000 Israelis who had gathered at the Western Wall to pray for them, and as of earlier today, they were tracking down, they believe, the ones that were holding them in Hebron, and of course, the part of the idea is that they're hoping to trade them for some Hamas prisoners, but. There's a curfew, actually, in Hebron right now. The Israeli Defense Forces are trying to track and get a hold of these, rescue these boys. They have clamped down in Hebron and the West Bank area there and the exits from that area toward Gaza. And let's see, or something that I had just seen, and there was a house, I believe, that they had gone into. There was, I thought I'd seen it here. Earlier today, they surrounded a house in Hebron, and they were calling over the loudspeaker for the occupants to give up. No one came out. They burst in, the soldiers burst in, and they believe that one of the kidnappers of those three Israeli teenagers was being held there. Not the Israelis, but one of the kidnappers, I'm sorry, was hiding there. And there's reports of gunfire and some casualties. They believe that there were some of the people in the house were killed. None of the soldiers, so far as I've been able to read. So, it's a very, very serious situation. And, they're hoping. I mean, they saw us give up five top-level terrorists, to get a low-level army private who appears to have deserted, and they're emboldened. They're emboldened to kidnap, and they're hoping the Israelis will do the same thing. But the Israelis did a smart thing; they sent in troops to try and find these boys and rescue them. And meanwhile, of course, there's rocket fire in Ashkelon from the Gaza Strip and cross-border shooting from the Golan Heights and a limited Israeli mobilization of some of their military reserves because of the things that are going on. In fact, the defense chief, the Israeli Defense Forces, I think it's Gantz, Benny Gantz, I think is his name. He said that publicly that there's 50,000 jihadists basically surrounding Israel right now that they need to be concerned about. And so, yeah, it's a very, very touchy situation over in the Middle East right now.
All right. My second question was about the Ukraine. I heard there's Russian troops on even down in Mexico, hanging around, I guess, and also the submarine fleet of the Russian Navy, down in our waters in Mexico and so forth, and near California. They're all surrounding the area. I don't know if you hear anything about that.
Well, actually, in the last few years, especially within the last year, the Russians have been coming far closer to our national waters. In fact, I saw something just the other day. They had some Russian aircraft, I believe it was, 50 miles off from U.S. Waters off California. And during the Cold War, a lot of people today don't remember as much about the Cold War, but during the Cold War, the Russians routinely did stuff like that. In fact, I've got a picture at home from my Air Force days of some U.S. Pilots, aircraft out of one of the bases in Alaska. I think it was, I want to say Elmendorf, but I'm probably wrong on that. But they intercepted a Russian Bear H bomber off the coast of Alaska. And the picture, fortunately, was declassified, so I was able to bring it home. And I still have it today. But that was a routine thing. And they would come in as close as they could, even stray over the border. In fact, we did the same thing to them, to be fair. And then there was the famous Russian fishing trawlers that would try to come into U.S. waters. And fishing trawlers, it really didn't have much in the way of fishing nets, but they sure had a lot of radio antennas sticking up all over them. That's because they were intelligence gathering. They were fishing for intelligence. They weren't fishing for fish. And they routinely did that. And then, of course, they did that throughout Europe as well. There was always the Russian soldiers on their leave who would come over into Germany, and they would spend their time fishing off from the bridges wherever a road crossed a river, and they would drop a line in there. And the line, of course, had no hook on it, and it was marked off in measurements. And they, since they weren't catching any fish, they just recorded it each time they dropped the line and how far it went down, because what they were doing was pre-measuring the crossings in case the bridges were destroyed so that they could have pre-built bridges for each specific road crossing. And they were doing this stuff all the time during the Cold War. And we saw that come largely to an end. But in the last few years in particular, especially within the last year, we have seen those types of activities begin to increase once more. And, there are definitely the consequences to willingly telling the world that you're going to shrink your military and that you're not going to try to defend the world and be there to help people anymore. And when we see this happening, look at things about the downsizing, and technology allows us to downsize somewhat, but there's fewer ships in our Navy today than we had in the U.S. Navy prior to World War I. I mean, that's mind-boggling. Granted, our ships are more powerful than they were prior to World War I, but still, it's this constant downsizing of the military, and then not allowing our military to do what they're supposed to be doing. So we live in a world that I think the United States is being prepared to take a second-class role in foreign affairs and world events because, the United States is not a major figure in end times prophecy.
I know.
And something's got to happen. And a lot of people thought, well, maybe, the Russians or the Chinese will nuke us or electromagnetic pulse attack or whatever. They don't have to do anything. We're doing it to ourselves. We really are. I guess you could say that our current administration is right in line with Scripture on that account, because we are reducing ourselves. We are quickly becoming, a second-class military power. Still got a ways to go, but we're heading in that direction fast.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Ron.
Well, thank you for calling, and appreciate that call. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. You can give us a call, 888-677-9673. It'd be nice to be able to come on the radio and say, I think America's greatest days are ahead of us. We're going to be that shining city on the hill like Reagan used to say when he was running. But I feel a lot of times like Jeremiah. We were just looking at Jeremiah chapter 34 this evening, where while the Nebuchadnezzar and the Babylonians were camped outside the city of Jerusalem laying siege to the city, he was told to go to King Zedekiah and say, listen, you're not going to win. Surrender to the Babylonians and just give up. That's what he was told to tell the king. That's why he was also in prison at that time, too, because those are treasonous words. But at the same time, it's very clear in Scripture that the United States is not a major world power in the end time events. And, how is that going to happen? I don't know. But we do seem to be pulling back from the world stage, and we do seem to be disarming ourselves and to a greater degree than what people even 5 years ago would have thought possible or realistic. But we're doing it. We don't need somebody to come in and destroy us. We are reducing ourselves on the world scene, and we're reducing ourselves as a world power. And certainly our economy is in such shambles right now that if there was some incident to take place that would pull us into some sort of a war, major conflict, we'd be hard-pressed to be able to tool up like we did coming out of the Great Depression in World War II and the mobilization that we made. We'd be hard-pressed to do that today because of the economy. But you can give us a call, 888-677-9673. Jeremiah's on the line. And Jeremiah, welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
Yeah, I got some popcorn, so nuke some popcorn.
Nuke some popcorn. You know, make me hungry. I love popcorn, except I can't. I do terrible. If I nuke it, I burn it. I pop it on the stove with, I use peanut oil in an old, this might at the risk of getting me in trouble, in an old pressure cooker. There we go. But
also there's a video game called Dukem.
Okay, not familiar with it. I have a friend of mine who tries different video games, and I always say, I got one video game that I like. It's Civilization, for whatever reason. I guess maybe it's my delusions of godhood or something there, but I'm not a Mormon, so I don't have that. But at any rate, I guess we should probably get back to your question.
Trying to be funny.
I know. I appreciate that. A little levity talking about all the stuff that's going on in the world. A little levity is good. But
yeah. Have you found any information about there's a church down the road from me that's they're trying to turn into a bar.
Right. In Lakewood, Ohio. Last I heard is that they had the town meeting, city meeting, and the city council voted to allow it to go through, though they still have some reservations about parking and a host of other issues. And, of course, I don't believe that they've been granted a liquor license yet, and the state has to grant the license. And I do know from one place that we used to meet, there was a hotel across the street from us that had a restaurant with a liquor license. And whenever that would be renewed, they would come over and notify us. And it was kind of hard for us to fight it in the sense that we moved into the building knowing that they were there with a liquor license. And so it wasn't a brand new one. But we always went on record as having opposition to it. And if it's a new license, though, and the facility that wants to have the liquor license is within a certain distance of a school, of a church, on certain other things, I'm not sure what all of them are, maybe a daycare center or something like that, they have to get special permission, and those facilities are notified, and they have an opportunity to record why or to, you know, show why they believe that that liquor license should not be granted. And so I would believe that that's probably the next step that's going to happen there. Pray for the people there.
I was walking from the store, and I walked past it, and there's three people, business people, walking on the site, on the church grounds, and I noticed them standing there looking at the church, and I was wondering if it was probably something to do with the bar, probably.
Yeah, they're probably looking at it and trying to figure out what they're going to do, but I would imagine that's going to be one of the next steps is to get the liquor license there.
That's the last thing we need.
Yeah, and I think that, what's the website that's there? NoMoreBarsInBirdTown.com, I think, is it, if people are curious about that. But do pray for the situation. Pray for the church. It's there's one church that's there and some others that are in opposition against it. I was Pastor Lutz there, North Coast Baptist Church, mentioned that the Turkish Muslims in Lakewood were in agreement with them that there should not be a bar there. So, as I was saying before earlier, politics make strange bedfellows, huh?
long as they don't have bar services during church services.
Well, I'm not sure how that's going to work out, what the times are going to be, but certainly encourage people to be in prayer over that issue.
And also, I've got two questions. one question is Jeremiah 29.
Okay, let me get turned over there, and I'll warn you, we're coming up on the break, and I do have another caller that's going to try to get to here at some point as well. But you said Jeremiah chapter 29?
Verse 11 through 13.
All right, let me get there. Verse 11 through 13, where it says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give an expected end. Then shall you call upon me, and shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you, and ye shall seek me and find me, when ye shall search for me with all your heart."
That's a good verse.
Yes, it is. And we do need to seek for God with all our heart. And you know, if we search for him, I was sharing in Luke chapter 13 this morning, I don't remember the verse right off the top of my head, where he basically shows that one of the reasons that people don't find him is because they don't strive to enter in at the straight gate, meaning they don't spend much time earnestly searching for the truth, and that's a problem.
I'll talk to you next week.
All right. Well, thank you for the call, Jeremiah, and again, appreciate that. And we have Mike on hold or waiting. And Mike, if you can wait until the next segment, we'd be glad to hold you over and take you as the first caller on the next after our half hour break here. And we'll get you up first after we get back on the air. So I appreciate that. And if you've got a call, you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. And you can get on the air here tonight with your questions about the Bible and current events in light of God's word. And let's see, we're going to take a break here. And we'll be back in just a couple of minutes. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express. The Holiday Inn Express is located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, or the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show has been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing, Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoel.us. You can also visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you. Now, let's get back to our show. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you till midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word, and I hope you'll be able to join us with your questions about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word. You can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. And we'll get you on the air here tonight with your questions. And also want to remind you, we're brought to you tonight, of course, by the Bible Baptist Church, where I'm the pastor. Invite you to visit us there. And also by East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, the home of the homemade pizza. And you can find East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights at 4889 Turney Road, right across from the Garfield Heights High School. East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights has calzones, stromboli, sandwiches, wraps, Lebanese food, wings, salads, a whole lot more. And you can call East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights for pickup or delivery at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. If you mention Live with Pastor Al, you can get a medium one-topping pizza for just $5. That's East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights, right across from the high school on Turney Road. If you're interested in opening your own pizza shop and you've been scared off maybe by some high franchise fees, why don't you give East Coast Pizza in Garfield Heights a call at 216-341-9100. That's 216-341-9100. Ask for Gus, and he can help you get started in your own pizza business and a whole lot less than what you might think otherwise. Well, we're going to get back to our program here this evening, and if you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, you can give us a call, 888-677-9673, and we've got Mike hanging on for us here tonight. And Mike, welcome to the program.
Yes, thank you, sir.
Mike, thank you for waiting, by the way.
Oh, gladly. I was flipping the dial on the AM dial, and I came across this program. Praise the Lord.
Well, glad to have you. Glad to have you.
Anyway, thank you. I told a group of men today about 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Okay.
Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature.
Right.
Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And I told the men, if you give your life to Jesus Christ, if you've got a problem, here it is. If you've got a problem and you give it to God, God will handle it, and you won't have to do anything to help him. But now one man misunderstood, and he thought he could continue with crack. He thought he could continue with that, and God would just zap him or something. But that's not what I meant. I didn't mean that God would zap you, not you, but zap the person.
Right, I understand.
So that they wouldn't be able to lift the beer bottle to their mouth, or they wouldn't be able to use their hand to open up a pack of cigarettes. I believe there's some... What is your take on that?
Well, I agree with what you said there. You become a new creature in Christ, and part of the key here is before we trust Christ as our Savior, you know, God created us as a three-part being. We're created in His image. We have a body, we have a soul, and we have a spirit. And our spirit, because of our sin, is dead. It's separated from God.
Yes.
When
yes.
we trust Christ as our Savior, our spirit is made alive in Christ, and then the Holy Spirit of God takes up residence in our heart, and we
yes.
become the temple or the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. He lives in the heart of each believer, and then, of course, He bears witness to our spirit. And see, this is where God begins to work in the heart of man, the heart of a redeemed man.
Yes.
The Holy Spirit begins working in our heart, and as we read the Word of God, as we fellowship with other believers, God begins to work in our heart and begins to convict us of these sins and help us to overcome them, so that things that we might not have been able to conquer or overcome or
yes.
get the victory over in our
yes.
own strength—
Yes.
Through Christ, all things are possible. You know,
oh,
things
yes,
that were
yes.
impossible with men are possible with Him.
Yes.
And let me bring you over to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 here. Or I'm sorry, chapter 6.
Yes.
And 1 Corinthians chapter 6, there's a tremendous teaching here where he says, starting in verse number 9, Paul writes this. He says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God." Now, that's talking a pretty good-sized list of sinful qualities there.
Oh, certainly.
And, but then he goes on to say this in verse 11, "And such were some of you, but ye are washed, but ye are sanctified, but ye are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ," or in the name of the Lord Jesus, "and by the Spirit of our God." And so he's saying that these people who struggled with these sins, that used to characterize them. But when they trusted Christ as their Savior, he says they're now washed because they've been washed in the blood of the Lamb.
Yes.
And now because they've been washed in the blood of the Lamb, their sin is forgiven, and they're now sanctified, which means they're set apart. Right. For God, and they are justified not through their own works, but in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. And they may still struggle with these sins, but this is no longer what characterizes them.
Yes.
Because God is working in their heart, bringing them victory over these sinful habits, sins of the flesh, and they're forgiven.
Yes.
And I don't know if you've ever heard of an organization called Reformers Unanimous.
I haven't.
It's an excellent ministry, and anybody that's struggling with any kind of addictive habit, behavior, it doesn't have to be drugs or alcohol. It could be overeating. It could be emotional. Any number of things.
Yes.
Reformers Unanimous is a local church-based program that uses the Word of God, and it points people to Jesus Christ. So
you think
that
they would set up a place in Youngstown, Ohio?
Right. If you go online,
I don't have a computer.
Oh, okay.
Sir.
Yeah, I was just going to say, and for anybody else that's listening that wants to look, reformu.com, I believe, is the you can get to the main website, and they'll show where they have chapters around the country.
Oh, great.
I know there are several in Northeast Ohio. There may be something in the Youngstown area.
Perhaps Warren?
Could be. I know for sure there's one at Cleveland Baptist Church.
Uh-huh.
And if you could get in touch with Cleveland Baptist Church, I'll find the phone number here and I can give that phone number out. They could certainly, if you don't have a computer, they could point you perhaps to somebody, because Cleveland Baptist Church was one of the first ones to form a Reformers Unanimous chapter here in Northeast Ohio. And a number of people have taken training there and then started chapters elsewhere across the state. In fact, I went to it one of the first training things that they had. And this program actually is indirectly a result of Reformers Unanimous, in the sense that we started a chapter at our church. We ran it for a year, and in our particular area in Richfield, we actually encountered a lot of opposition from sources that you wouldn't think would have been opposed. Alcoholics Anonymous, for instance, was very opposed to us in our area. And but at any rate, the long story short, after about a year, it just didn't get off the ground. But we had started a Friday night program that developed into our Friday night Bible study, which we still have every Friday night, an open Bible study from 7 until 9. That Bible study actually was the incentive for doing this radio program. We started this radio program, I think, almost 7 years ago now, and that's where we decided to do the program with call-in question and answer, because this is what we do every Friday night.
Well, yes, sir.
Church.
I think I will hang up, because I don't want to monopolize
time. Let me give you the number for Cleveland Baptist. If you want to pursue some information on Reformers Unanimous, if you've got a pen and want to write this down,
Well, I'll have to go verbal.
Okay.
Because
I'll get it, and you can always look it up even in the phone book, even or
Cleveland Baptist Church.
Yeah, Cleveland Baptist Church. And for those
in
that
Cleveland,
want to call,
Ohio.
Yeah, it's
216-671-2823. 2823.
Correct. And I'll repeat that again.
216-671-2823.
Yeah,
216-671-2823.
Right. And
thank you very much, sir.
Yeah, exactly. And I appreciate
the
call.
Well, as I said, I don't want to monopolize the whole program.
That's okay.
But anyway, it's thank you very much.
Yeah.
Keep doing what you're doing.
Well, I appreciate that. And thank
you
for holding on.
Thank you for this program.
Well, thank you, sir. Appreciate it. And appreciate the call, appreciate the questions there. And, of course, you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. And you can give us a call tonight, 888-677-9673. If you've got a question about the Bible or current events in light of God's Word, telephone lines are open, 888-677-9673. We'll get you on the air here this evening. And we are talking there about Reformers Unanimous. If you know somebody that's struggling with some sort of addictive behavior, or an addictive habit, some addiction that they just can't get the victory over it, they believe that with Christ all things are possible, and you can contact the Cleveland Baptist Church at 216-671-2823. And, of course, you can always go online, Google Reformers Unanimous, or you can try their website, reformu.com, and find out more information and where there might be a chapter near you. And even if you're just the friend or loved one of someone that's struggling with these things, it's good to get involved because it'll help you. And it'll help you in your walk with Christ. And that's the philosophy behind Reformers Unanimous, is the closer you walk with Christ, the less the world will have a hold on you. And so that's it'd be a good ministry to find out. All right. Of course, you're listening again, as I said, Late Night Live with Pastor Al, 888-677-9673, and get you on the air here tonight. And I was going to share something here that I read online just the other day. We talked about this at our Friday night Bible study, and I thought this might be something to touch on. Sometimes I get criticized, you know, oh, you pick on the Catholics, oh, you pick on the Mormons, oh, you pick on the Muslims, oh, you pick on the, you know, fill in the blank. Don't you ever have anything to say about the Baptists? Well, I am an independent fundamental Baptist, pastor of an independent fundamental Baptist church, and if I see something that an independent fundamental Baptist says that's just plain dumb, I can point that out too. I read an article just recently called Too Close, and it was talking about meeting heroes, and the author of the article, it was somebody who is the type of a person that needs heroes. He said, I need a hero, you need a hero. Now, we can debate whether or not you really need a hero. Some people, I think they are more motivated by heroes, and it's good to look up to people and all that. But the thing you have to be careful with heroes is idolatry. And here's what he says, talking about a hero. He says, I did not want to see his imperfection. I needed a hero, you need a hero. I knew he had weaknesses, but I did not want to see them. I knew he had sins, but I did not want to see them. I refused to allow myself to get that close. Now, what he uses as the basis for this is passage in Genesis chapter 9, verse 23. Now, in this passage, Ham had come upon his father, Noah, lying in a tent. This is after all of the victory of building the ark and then coming through the flood and the floodwaters receding. And Noah had planted a vineyard and he had grown grapes. And some of the grapes had obviously become fermented because Noah was laying drunk in the tent with no clothes on. And Ham come out and told his brothers Shem and Japheth. And whatever the nature was, mocking, laughing, whatever, it says in Genesis 9:23, and Shem and Japheth took a garment and laid it upon both their shoulders and went in backward and covered the nakedness of their father, and their faces were backward, and they saw not their father's nakedness. Now, this is a scene that the Bible gives us, and the humility and the godliness of Shem and Japheth, they walked in backwards and covered their father up with a blanket or with a garment there, and so that he would not be laying there in that state in the tent. And, you know, we see that. Well, but the author of this article builds on that, and he says that when you have a hero, if there's any imperfections, you should do like Shem and Ham or Shem and Japheth did. You should cover them up. And now, to a certain degree, you know, we understand that everybody is not perfect. And we were discussing this at church Friday night, and one of the guys in our church, much to my chagrin, pointed out that, yes, that's right, you're not perfect. And I said, oh, that's cut me to the quick that you don't worship the ground that I walk on. But we were talking about this, and this is the problem. It's one thing to not major on the sins of some of these people around us. And if you're looking for imperfections, you're going to find imperfections. You know, a lot of marriages are killed that way. A lot of relationships between friends are killed that way because one or both go to start looking for faults, looking for imperfections. And when you see that and start majoring on them, it can lead to a ruining of the relationship. But at the same time, we do need to remember, especially when we're looking inside of churches and things like that, that we need to be aware, because we see so many cases, and independent Baptist churches are not immune from this, somebody in position of authority, whether a pastor or a youth leader or a Sunday school teacher or a bus worker, takes advantage of some of the people in the church. And it could be anything from improper relationships, sexual relationships with minors, and it could even be things of taking advantage of people and getting money from people and things of that nature. Those sorts of things happen. And when we have people in leadership positions and people in authority who are prone to those sorts of things, who begin to do those sorts of things, we cannot cover those things up. However, the author here contends that we should. And see, that's just plain wrong. And he tries to make a biblical case for it. He says, tell me of Peter's sermon on Pentecost, the 3,000 souls saved and baptized. Tell me of Peter saying in Matthew chapter 16, when Jesus asked, whom say ye that I am? And Peter rose to his eloquence and replied, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he goes on talking about several things with Peter. He says, tell me about that, but don't let me get so close. I see him cursing and denying the Lord. Don't major on that. Now, first thing he said here is don't major on that, because it is in the Bible. God saw fit to record Peter cursing and denying the Lord Jesus Christ. God put that in the Bible. Peter's enemies didn't put it there. The devil didn't put it there. Our Bible's not like the Quran that has the satanic verses that they believe that Satan put into the Quran. No, every word of God is there because the Holy Spirit inspired somebody to put it there. So he says, don't major on that. Okay. Well, I mean, obviously, there's a lot more about Peter than the time that he cursed and denied the Lord. So we don't need to major on that. We can talk about these other things. And he talks about David defeating Goliath and killing a bear and killing a lion, and David and his forgiveness of various ones, and writing, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, and some of the other psalms and a number of things. But then he says this, but don't tell me and don't major on what happened with Bathsheba and Uriah. Please allow me to go backwards and place the garment over Bathsheba and Uriah incident. I know he did it, but I don't want to see it. I want to think about David with the slingshot and the felling of the giant. Now, that's one thing to say that, but wait a minute. That the occasion of David gazing upon Bathsheba as she bathed, and lusting after her, sending for her, committing adultery with her, and then bringing Uriah back from the battle, trying to get him to go into his wife when Bathsheba found out that she was pregnant so that people would think it was Uriah's child and not David's. And then when Uriah would not go spend the night with his wife, sending Uriah to the battle with a note telling Joab to put Uriah in the forefront of the battle where the battle was hot, and then to pull away and abandon him there so that he dies. I mean, there's adultery, there's murder, and there's lying and all these things here. And he says, I know he did it, but I don't want to see it. I'm sorry, it's in the Word of God, and I want to study the whole Word of God. Well, let me go along a little further here. He talks about Moses, and Moses, certainly a great man of God, used, and certainly somebody like David to look up to, a hero that we can hold up to our children and even for ourselves, and talks about telling about all of Moses' great things. And then he says this, however, please let me back up and cover that which caused Moses to have to go to Mount Nebo. And of course, that was because Moses disobeyed God, struck the rock the second time when he wasn't supposed to. And God sent him up on Mount Nebo before he died, said, you could see the promised land, but you're not going enter it, going to enter it. And he says, please let me back up and cover up that which caused Moses not to be able to go into the promised land. No, we're not going to cover that up. It's in the Bible. We need to study it and we need to learn it. And I say, well, okay, he's just using cover up because that's what Shem and Japheth did when they covered up Noah in the tent. Well, he goes on. He says, don't tell me what happened at Mount Nebo. I don't want to know. Now, I have a problem when a preacher refers to something in the Bible and says, don't tell me about it. I don't want to know. And he goes on, he talks about Mark, the Gospel of Mark. And he says, please tell me about how he went to Paul when he was in prison the last day of Paul's life. When Demas left, John Mark stayed beside Paul. He says, don't magnify what happened at Pamphylia. I don't want to hear what caused him to go back home. That's when Mark abandoned Paul and Barnabas on their first missionary journey. He says, I'm going to back up with a garment and cover it up because I don't want to know. Now, again, I have a problem when somebody talks about things in the Bible and says, I don't want to know. I'm sorry, we're called as Christians to study the entire Bible. We learn from these things. And see, the problem that I have with this, and this is why I brought this article up, is that he takes this progression from don't major on it to I don't want to see it, let me cover it up, don't tell me about it, I don't want to know. And he applies this false progression that he himself put together, and he applies that to human beings, and he says, don't tell me about their faults, don't tell me about their failures, I don't want to know, I don't want to see it, let me cover it up. And that's the problem that we have in too many churches. People who commit grievous sins are covered up, and people don't want to see it. And they get passed on to other churches, other ministries, and nobody deals with the problem. When we have people in authority within churches, when we have pastors, when we have assistant pastors, youth leaders, Sunday school teachers, church workers, even people in the church, deacons and church members that are guilty of sinful things, and it gets covered up, and people say, well, they're such a man of God. Don't tell me about their sin. I don't want to know. Sometimes it's serious and it needs to be dealt with. And the only way it can be dealt with is if we bring it out in the open. Light is a great disinfectant. We're out of time. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, where your questions and comments are always welcome. Pastor Al Davis is the pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can contact Pastor Al by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286, or email Pastor Al at pastoral@maplenoll.us. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at latenightlive.maplenoel.us. That's latenightlive.maplenoel.us. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, 5171 Brecksville Road in Richfield, every Sunday at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m., and Friday nights at 7 p.m. Join Pastor Al Davis again for more Late Night Live conversation next Sunday at 11 p.m. on Late Night Live with Pastor Al on AM 1220, The Word. Late Night Live with Pastor Al is brought to you by the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio.